I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Phantom Tollbooth came out a little more than a half century ago. It's become a classic children's book passed on from generation to generation.
Yeah, I read it as a kid. It stuck with me. And just last year, I read it to my kids, and that was a great experience. The creators of the book, though, author Norton Juster and illustrator Jules Pfeiffer, didn't really know it was going to stick around for so long, and our next guest tells that story. Hannah Jant is with us now. She's the director of the new documentary, The Phantom Tollbooth, Beyond Expectations. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's have a clip from the documentary. This is author Norton Juster. He's reading from the description of his main character, Milo.
"It seems to me that almost everything is a waste of time," he remarked one day as he walked dejectedly home from school. "I can't see the point in learning to solve useless problems or subtracting turnips from turnips or knowing where Ethiopia is or how to spell February. And since no one bothered to explain otherwise, he regarded the process of seeking knowledge as the greatest waste of time of all."
And Milo spends the rest of the book learning the opposite lesson. Hannah, before we get into the Phantom Tollbooth, what made you want to tell the story behind the book?
There were a couple of things. One was simply meeting Norton Juster and Jules Pfeiffer, who one thing that the documentary charts is their longstanding friendship and collaboration. And they have an incredible rapport. And they're very funny, and they're this wonderful combination of accomplished and witty and wise and incredibly approachable and human. And that, for me, fits the whole mode of the Phantom Tollbooth so well that I was thrilled to be able to spend more time with them and get to know them and the backstory. And then the second thing was that I hadn't read the book since I was a child, and I read it on a bus. I read it for 4 hours straight, and I laughed out loud to myself on this bus. And I found there were so many new things that I found in it, and I found the book so funny and warm that the fact that it had stood up after so much time, both in my life and from when it was written in the 50s, seemed really remarkable.
Well, and I learned this from your documentary. We have this children's book written by a guy who never planned to write a children's book, illustrated by a political cartoonist who says he looked down on children's books and illustrating those. How did those two guys create such a lasting children's book?
Yeah, so one of the things that's talked about in the film is this idea that there's quite a few famous children's book authors who weren't writing for children, whose intention wasn't children's books per se, who just happened to be writing about their own interests that manifest itself into a children's form. And that seems to be the case with Norton Juster. And so they got together in Brooklyn. And like you say, Norton Juster was an architect at the time, living in Brooklyn Heights. And Jules Pfeiffer was busily trying to overtake the government through his satirical cartoons at the Village Voice. And they got together because they lived together and, you know, really enjoyed each other's company. And Norton started writing this book and Jules started illustrating it. And they ended up having a really remarkable and enviable collaboration that was extremely organic, extremely well-suited. So, yeah.
Well, and one thing that occurred to me rereading the book to my kids last year was this is not a kid's book that talks down to kids anyway. I mean, there's some pretty complicated, wacky wordplay and concept play in there.
Yeah, I think that that's one of the reasons that it ends up being pretty timeless is that I think that you can enjoy it at a bunch of different ages. You know, the fact that I found it funny again, the fact that I got wordplay that I didn't get before. And the fact that, I mean, one of the things that they ran into when they tried to get it published was there was a bunch of people that said, what age group is this for? And then they said, this is problematic because it's unclear that it's for a particular age group. And if it isn't for a particular age group, we can't market it. You know, we can't tell, you know, who it's for. And, of course, that ends up being the thing that makes it a classic. But at the time, it made it something that was, you know, a problem.
Now, talk, you mentioned the friendship between author Norton Juster and the illustrator Jules Pfeiffer, and it really shows through watching the documentary. But can you talk about what it was like observing this 50-plus year friendship in action?
I think one of the things that I loved was that on camera and off camera were exactly the same.
Well, so they were not playing for the camera on this thing.
No, I mean, they ham it up a little bit, partly because they're used to, you know, they're used to talking to people about their collaboration whenever they've done book tours or anything. But aside from a little bit of hamming up, everything was exactly the same. And I think that was the thing that charmed me so much, is that I didn't feel like I was getting some type of performance or some type of false thing. I felt like they were being really genuine.
And talk about them, as they point out, and other people point out in your documentary, these guys are opposites in some significant ways. Talk about that.
Well, it's funny. David Hyde Pierce talks about that in the documentary. And I have to be honest, I half agree.
Okay.
I think that they are, they're quite different in their presence. Jules is very tall and a little more, stern isn't the right word, but a little more, Norton is just, he's very jovial. He's very warm and open and he loves to laugh. And, but they both have this incredible combination of very, very sharp wit and incredible warmth and humanity. And so I see that similarity more, actually, because I think that's a pretty rare combination, to have somebody who's incredibly perceptive, incredibly witty, but also has a generosity and warmth. Oftentimes those don't go that well together.
And you interview some other children's authors in the book, and they point out, and this is what how I thought it worked. Usually somebody writes a book, the publisher finds an illustrator, or there's a famous illustrator who has great drawings and they find somebody to come and write a book around it. That's not how it worked with these guys. How did they collaborate in the making of the Phantom Tollbooth?
Yeah, so I think they had a pretty exceptional collaboration. They, as far as I can tell, it happened very organically. They were in the same house. Norton was showing Jules his writings. Jules loved it, and he loved the humor, and he started doing illustrations for it. And like you say, usually a book isn't prepared with the author and the illustrator together. Like you say, usually there's the book first or there's the illustrations first. And so one of the things that Eric Carle, the author illustrator of children's books, talks about in the documentary is that it's very rare to have somebody, he says, present a whole package, something that has both developed. And it makes it quite special because it makes it really like a whole piece that was developed together, that was presented together, that was really a collaboration from the beginning.
Well, you mentioned that publishers didn't see the writing as age-appropriate or fitting a particular age group. How did they feel about Jules Pfeiffer's illustrations? Because that's really unusual for a kid's book.
Yeah, I actually don't know the answer to that. No one has told me about the reception that Jules' drawings got. But Jules talks about how he did them very much in the tradition of English children's illustrations. So like Alice in Wonderland, this kind of pen-line sketchy drawing that was quite typical to that time. And he says that he was inspired partly by an illustrator called Edward Artizone. And he felt that Norton's writing was very much in the English tradition, like Alice in Wonderland. And the book has been called The American Alice in Wonderland. So he developed a style that was kind of a combination of the satirical cartoons that he was doing and the combination of these English illustrations that he was drawing from.
Well, you mentioned how they kind of worked together and this all came out organically. I can't imagine a Phantom Tollbooth, you know, having somebody else come in and illustrate it ever. That's just one book where it wouldn't make a bit of sense.
Yeah, I agree. And that was actually one thing that was difficult in making the documentary, is that we wanted to create some animations and we wanted to create a visual style. And Jules's illustrations are so iconic and so appropriate that it was hard to think about putting any other type of visuals to the books that weren't his.
I can see that. And speaking of the making of the documentary, you did some things differently. You're doing this 50-year-old book, but some cutting-edge stuff. This is a kick-started documentary, right?
Yeah. So that was a really exciting thing for us. It felt, I personally believe that this was a very well-suited Kickstarter project, and there's a couple reasons. I mean, Kickstarter does this amazing thing. Basically, it allows me to get in touch with the audience for this film directly. So I don't have to go through commissioners. I don't have to go through people who will look at the film and say, is this a film that is marketable? Is this a film that we can connect to this or that people. Basically, the audience, by their support, tells us whether or not this is a film that they would like to see. And that seems particularly fitting to the Phantom Tollbooth, which is such a personal thing for people. I mean, people love this book, and they have a very personal relationship to it. I get so many emails where people tell me that they named their kids Milo, or that they got married because of the book, or that they have a dog named Talk. And so to be able to reach our audience on a personal, independent basis seems like a really great fit for the film.
All right. Hannah, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fun.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Hannah Jayanti, director of The Phantom Tollbooth, Beyond Expectations.